Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
The Bernstein and McKnight Show.
They're made from a secret sweaty family recipe. No one can resist my sweaty balls.
You gonna eat that?
What, that? No. Yes. No. Well, no, I crossed my mind.
Chilled a monkey brain.
29! And it's still going. I thought that record was gonna last forever. Most folks just don't seem to have a taste for testicles no more.
This is Bizarre Food.
Good.
It was great to have a conversation earlier with Andrew Zimmern. I'm a huge fan.
You're a big fan.
You couldn't tell. I'm just a really big fan.
I've always dabbled. I've never really indulged in Andrew Zimmern stuff, but he is very likable and very enjoyable.
So we're getting your stories of things that you have been willing to try.
The weird stuff.
Let's get weird.
You didn't have to like it. You probably might have hated it. You could have loved it. It doesn't matter. The reaction to it, we just want to know the weird stuff that you decided to eat one night.
I've had pretty much every insect, you know, whether it's been just out in the wild or, you know, I've eaten night crawlers. I've eaten minnows out of the minnow bucket.
I can't say that I've gotten that weird with. I'll eat anything. I'll eat most things. I'll try most stuff, but I just haven't had the opportunity to go that exotic with things.
And if there's an organ meat on the menu,
sweetbreads, I'm in.
I am probably there.
Yeah, I'm in for that kind of stuff.
That is the thymus gland.
Is that what that is?
Yeah.
It's very tasty.
Craig in Bloomington is on the score. Hello, Craig.
Hello, boys. I was in Argentina a couple years ago at basically a meat buffet where they do the grilling over a charcoal grill right there, and you pick out what you want, as many trips as you want.
Uh-huh.
And so I didn't speak much Spanish, so I couldn't ask the cook what certain things were. So I pointed at something that looked like a small tenderloin of some sort. I got it back to the table, and my Spanish-speaking friends told me that I was eating mollejas, which is evidently some gland in the neck of a cow. It's not the thyroid or anything like that.
Hmm.
It's not tripe, but it was some gland. It's about the size of a human ear and about that same shape. And when I bit into it, it tasted like if you cut the fat strip off of a nice ribeye and then deep fried it. That's exactly the taste and texture that it was. You bit into it and it kind of oozed a little bit. It tasted like almost like drawn butter. And so I ate about half of it, and I wasn't really feeling the texture very much longer, so I kind of bailed on that experience. But it was pretty tasty, and so my policy after that was only eating something that I could identify if it had a bone in it.
All right, give us the Spanish word again, please.
Mollejas. I got it, actually.
Mollejas. M-O-L-L-E-J-A-S.
Thanks, Craig. That's a great start. Mollejas.
Mollejas are sweetbreads. They're the thymus, and the pancreas, heart or stomach sweetbread, especially the calf and lamb.
Ooh.
Although beef and pork sweetbreads are also eaten, can be cooked just about any way you think of. Sounds like mollejas is the name of the general dish, and you can do it with kind of some different ingredients here and there.
262 says, in Peru, I ate a Peruvian staple, guinea pig. Very sticky, dark, and disgusting. I also ate alpaca, which was surprisingly lean and delicious. Pete is in Glenview and is on the score. What you got, Pete?
Hey there. So this has to be about 20 years ago. Morimoto had just opened up a brand new restaurant in Philadelphia, and I was out there. I got taken to a birthday dinner, and since the restaurant was new enough, Iron Chef Masaharu Morimoto was still there.
Right?
You could see him, like, whatever. So we go there, I look at the menu, and I want it all, right? So I asked the lady, you know, do I have to order off the menu? What do you recommend? What should I do? And she goes, well, about how much money are you willing to spend? So I told her how much money I was willing to spend, and she any food allergies, anything you don't want to try, and da, 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 da. Like, nope. I'm willing to spend several hundred dollars, and you just let that man over there do whatever the heck that he wants to do for me, and I'm going to eat it. And she goes, oh, okay, that, you will like that. Okay. And so she disappears. And then he invited me over to, like, the chef's table, which is maybe about 10 feet away. And I watched him dispatch all of this live fish and seafood and make me, like, the most craziest sushi, you know, meal with my wife. We had octopus that was, like, moving around on the plate as we ate it.
Mm-hmm.
But probably the strangest thing was he served us baby eel in a bowl where he serves it like a noodle dish, right? So they're baby eels. They're not fully developed. They look like noodles. They're maybe 6 to 8 inches long. And he, like, drowns them in sake, right, and soy, so they're all drunk. And gives it to you like it's a noodle dish, but your noodles are swimming around in the bowl.
Oh, perfect.
Oh, my God.
Drunken live baby eels.
Oh, my
yes.
God. I don't know
eat
that
it,
I can do
it,
that.
Eat it.
And actually, when that restaurant
I don't think
opened,
I can do that.
When he opened that restaurant in Philadelphia, we did a cross promotion with our show.
Really?
Yes. We had Morimoto on the air, and we sent two Boars and Bernstein listeners to Philadelphia. Airfare, hotel, the whole thing to go eat at that restaurant.
I ate at Morimoto's place in Vegas when I was there because I had to. The guy is a living legend. But live eels in a bowl, I don't
What's
know
worse,
I
eating
that.
Live eels or going to Philadelphia?
No, that's exotic too. A good point. The 309 here at Texter says, I eat a lot of June bugs every summer.
June bugs?
Young ones. Do not. I will absolutely.
A young June bug
if one,
and an old June
if,
bug.
If one of the smaller ones lands on you and you can actually see like that big juicy brown yellow abdomen hanging out,
yeah.
Eat it. It's like a macadamia nut.
What?
Yes. Yeah. You don't want them too big and crunchy and old where you got to peel the carapace off. But
you don't want anything too big,
but,
crunchy and old.
No, seriously. Some of those, it's like the best macadamia nut you've ever had.
Huh.
Danny in Rockford. You're on WSCR.
Yeah, hey, how you guys doing today?
Good, Danny.
All right, so about 15 years ago, I was in South Korea, stationed there for the Army. And walking down the street, they were selling baby octopus grilled in a cup.
Oh, sure.
They were actually quite good. Kind of the texture of a grape when you bit into the head, though.
Huh.
You can get those around here. If you want to go, there is a Korean restaurant at Western and Foster called Sansu Gobsan.
That's your spot.
And it's you do Korean barbecue, and they will bring you a big bowl of raw baby octopus, and you just throw them on the grill in front of you. You turn them a couple times and pop them in your mouth. So if you liked it, you can get them right here.
I was unaware of that. Thank you very much.
Yeah. I don't know about Rockford, but I know Chicago, there are multiple places where you can get baby octopus.
I have tried octopus a number of different times and a bunch of different preparations, and it's the texture.
It's got to pop.
I can't do it. It just doesn't work for me. I've really tried.
Yeah, texture's huge for me. So I think that's part of the reason I'm more conservative when it comes to trying things is that so many times it could taste good, but the texture, I'm just out.
Yeah.
I got a weird one. It's one time I went to a restaurant and they brought out a glass bowl and in it was just lettuce, tomatoes, cheese, and like dried up bread.
What?
It was terrible.
Oh, the hell you say.
And they like poured this dressing on it.
Oh, that's
I
weird.
Never ate it again. Just horrific.
Now that, yeah, that's just
it
weird.
Was a texture thing, right?
Yeah,
Jay?
Yeah, right. I think we'll have to do that another segment. That's too much for this segment.
Nothing was fried. It was so strange.
On the north
Jay,
side,
people are eating lunch right now.
It's Oren on the score. Hi, Oren.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. So I've never been a fan of the creepy crawlies, but it's a life mission of mine to cross off as many mammals and fowl as I can possibly get my mouth around. So to that end, a couple of years ago over the holidays, my sister got me a literal crate of sausages and jerkies made from exotic animals. And so while there was a couple that I had already tried in the past, like ostrich and wild boar, over the next couple of weeks, I was able to try about 7 animals I had never eaten before, including reindeer and armadillo and kangaroo. And emu and rattlesnake. It was really, every few days just trying a new animal in either a sausage or a jerky.
How was the kangaroo?
The kangaroo was a little bit tough. I mean, the truth is a lot of them just kind of tasted like pork sausage, to be honest with you. But it was different. It was a kangaroo sausage, and we fried it up with some onions. And it was kind of, it's kind of difficult to describe a flavor, but it was sort of it was kind of like venison a little bit. Maybe that would be the best description, closest to eating some deer.
All right.
Hmm.
That's the thing with some of the exotic game jerkies and sausages. Some of it could just be Bob Evans sausage. Right. You throw some fennel in it and tell you it's kangaroo.
Yeah, once it's dried, too, yeah. You don't really get the actual character of the meat in quite the same way.
I had a college roommate whose dad was a big hunter, and he brought back fresh venison from the hunt or whatever, and also bear. You ever had bear?
I have not. I know people who have.
Had some bears. It was like greasy almost. Very, very gamey. It was good. But afterward was a whole, that was, you had to deal with it. If you're not used to eating some of that real gamey stuff, that will affect you as you go through your day.
708 says, chicken feet at dim sum in San Francisco. Quite good, but little reward. Yeah, I like Chinese chicken feet. I had it here for dim sum.
What do you eat on the chicken foot?
The skin. The skin and the gelatinous bits of fat and gristle. And
it's, oh, so these aren't the pickled chicken feet, or are these the pickled?
No, they're not pickled. It's actually in kind of a sweet, spicy sauce. And it's fine. It's just, like, it's a lot of work for chicken skin.
Like eating a wing? You're kind of, like, picking through it with your...
It's more work. It's all bone. It's not easy. It's fun, though. It's good. It's fine. Imagine, like, the tip of a wing.
Yeah.
Imagine that. That's
annoying as hell.
Right. Imagine it being more like the tip of a wing.
Yeah.
Sauganash and Tony, you're on WSCR.
Hey, guys. In my previous life, I was an IT director, project management director, and I had a group of Filipino guys that worked for me. They were coders. And every probably once or twice a month, they would bring in for lunch balut.
Balut. I believe that is the fertilized duck egg.
Yes.
What?
And they would give me the business about, like, being too much of a pee to give it a shot. And I finally said, you know what? Give me a bite of that. Take a bite of that.
But
it's
embryonic, right? So there's like a developing fetus of a duck in there, right?
Yes. And these guys were eating, like, hard-boiled eggs at Christmas time. Or Easter time, I should say. Just disgusting.
Okay. There's like feather and beak and...
Oh, have you had one?
I have not.
I don't think I could do that.
That's pushing the limit for me.
Yeah, that's
as much
up there.
I love duck and duck egg.
Oh, duck is the best.
And duck egg carbonara.
Oh my God, it's fantastic. I don't think I could get into that.
That's pushing it for me. And there's a story. I almost did it for Midday Midway. A woman bought a balut and it actually decided, for whatever reason, to put it under a lamp, and the duck hatched. And it's now her pet.
Oh, come on!
Yeah, and now it's a grown duck, and it's her pet. Kyle's in Crystal Lake, and he's on the score as we do Strange Eats. Hello, Kyle.
How are you guys? How are you doing?
Great.
Good. Hey, well, actually, kind of the same thing one of the gentlemen who mentioned earlier. There's a fantastic restaurant in Crystal Lake. They specialize in a lot of wild game. And kangaroo I've had, which I hated. It was kangaroo skewers. They were super gamey and really tough. I don't know if we just got a bad batch or not.
Well, did you de-stick it? You got to de-stick your blammers.
Well, we did not. No, okay, I don't think we did. So that would probably it. The second dish we had was boa constrictor. We actually paired it with a Montrachet, which was fantastic. It had a little cream butter sauce with herbs that was just drizzled over the top. It was super light, super fluffy. It was a fantastic pairing. So I'm not sure if they do it anymore, but the chef used to get it in, I think, like once a month. And he wouldn't let everybody know that he had it in there, but if you knew he had it around this, like the third week of the month, you'd ask him, hey, Santi, are you getting it in next week? Yeah, it's coming in. Just make a reservation. So.
Oh, wow.
But, yes.
Boa constrictor.
They have bear, elk. I'm sorry?
Boa constrictor with a Montrachet. I wouldn't know off the top of my head what the proper pairing would be.
Well, it was sautéed, and it was, I believe it was from Shoshan. Montrachet. It was a premier crew, not the Grand Cru. Not that rich. The acidity and the minerality it contrasted the sweetness of the dish. So
nice.
It was fantastic.
That's a good call, Kyle. Thank you.
As much as I hate snakes, I have no qualms about having eaten one or having to eat one. I'd go eat a snake.
I have.
I got no problem there.
I have.
Is that should that be weird that I have this ingrained fear of snakes, but I have no problem eating one?
It's not moving in front of you.
It's not moving in front of me.
John and Joliet, welcome to the Score.
Good afternoon, guys. Our restaurant was actually in the middle of the Mojave Desert, 29 Palms. We're in the United States Marines, and we were in the desert for 35 days. 34 days, we're eating sea rations. The 35th day, one of our guys says, you know what? We're going to eat something different today. And he took a walk out to the desert, came back with a rattlesnake. So we just put some vegetables together. He got it and did everything right in front of us. Now, me being from Chicago and the other guy being from New York, we'd never tried anything like that before, but I'll tell you what, after 34 days of sea rations, that was the best thing we ever had in our lives.
I've had rattlesnake, and it's awesome.
It was delicious.
Yeah, it's almost like game bird.
The way you guys talk about sea rations, I'd rather have the rattlesnake than the sea
That's
ration.
What he was saying.
That's the most exotic thing I've eaten, the sea ration. It's terrible.
773 says, rotted shark in Iceland, followed
rotted?
By a shot of their local alcohol, Brevinen. Yes, and Andrew Zimmern did a show about this.
Rotted shark.
When he was in Iceland, yes, it's usually a Greenland.
Rotted shark.
It's a Greenland shark, and they catch them and they hang them and they rot in open air. They're treated with lye, I believe. They're rubbed down, and it's the Icelandic term. I got to be careful with this. The Icelandic term is hakarl.
That stuff. I've seen that spelled out.
Yes, it's like H-A-J-K-K-A-R-L.
Yeah, there's definitely a K-R-L in there.
Right, that is. And they I don't know how they got to figuring that out, but it is rotted shark.
It's stuck in my head all day.
Yeah, we'll come back. We'll do more. Weekend. There's a lot of these. There's some really cool things in here. And just finding out, it's amazing that you think that all our guys are only eating their Italian beef. But it's a lot more than that. A lot of varied experience out there as we get your stories. This segment brought to you by, appropriately, National Pheasant Fest and Quail Classic. Visit Pheasant Fest and Quail Classic in Schaumburg, February 22nd to 24th. The nation's largest upland hunting and conservation expo focuses on bird dogs, wild game cooking, and hunting heritage. With over 400 vendors and great seminars, Pheasant Fest and Quail Classic has something for you. Visit pheasantfest.org.
More tales of your hakarl when we come back.
Careful.
And remember, you gotta be really careful with that. Remember, if Addison Russell does begin to talk to media down there in Mesa, we'll bring it to you here on Bernstein and McKnight. 670 The Score.
The bun, we take the corned beef, put it on there, corn dogs, de-stick it, get the chili on there, get the cheese. Okie doke popcorn. Blammers.
Different segment.
Blammers.
That's different. That was what gave us all sorts of wonderful ideas for the Super Bowl that actually came out great. The bottom of the hour is brought to you by Northwestern Basketball. Don't miss Coach Collins and the Cats at the new Welsh Ryan Arena this season for matchups with Minnesota and Ohio State. Purchase tickets now at nusports.com. Exotic eats. That's what we're doing. The strange, the weird, the uncomfortable, getting your stories. Jeff and Steger, you're next on Bernstein and McKnight on The Score.
Hey, guys. When I was in Korea in the Army, I went out with some of my Katusa friends, and you have a Korean barbecue. Basically, you fry it in a wok at the table. They gave me this meat. It looked like steak. It was kind of tough, the texture. And later I found out it was kagogi, which is dog.
Ah, yes.
Dog.
It was actually not bad if you prepare it right with a little soy sauce. It's actually really good, and you take a shot of soju with it. Can't beat it.
Well, enough soju, you're going to be fine no matter what.
I was just going to say, almost half of these stories so far involve drinking a lot while eating the food or the food itself being drunk.
Yeah, but the best part of the show is during the break when Connor was channeling his ancestry. Reading
Robert Burns?
Reading Robert Burns' ode to haggis.
Yeah, somebody had texted in saying that they had a proper haggis in Edinburgh, and I found that Robert Burns has written, haggis, first of all, is just, it's like giving up. Like
that's what
Scottish cuisine is. It's just we gave up and then we just started boiling a bunch of stuff. It's entrails boiled in a stomach. If you're not aware of what haggis
with
is,
some oatmeal and blood.
And some,
that makes it better.
Probably a rock or something like that. Just the rock they found. Ode to addressed to a haggis. Robert Burns. Fair for your honest sunsy face, great chieftain of the pudding race. Aboon them you talk your place upon a chiper therm. Wheel are you worthy, O grace, ah langs is my arm. His knife's ye rustic labour dicht, and cut you up ready slicked, trenching your gushing entrails bright like only dyke. And then, oh, what a glorious seeked warm a raking rike. I don't know what any of those words really mean, but Robert Burns, who I have to be related to. Like, no one, there is no way that a Scotsman who decided to write Address to a Haggis isn't the same idiot that I'm related. It's, I have to be related to that guy.
On the Northwest side, Chris, you're on WSCR.
Good afternoon, fellas.
Hey, Chris.
I've got two of them for you. My mom was born in Slovenia. And so I went back with some other Slovenian-Americans about 15 years ago on sort of a cultural visit. They wanted to get Americans over there to re-ingratiate ourselves into the culture. And there's two instances. One of them, we went to a deer farm where they raise deer specifically to be eaten. And so all of the menu items in the restaurant were, of course, venison and related items, and outside the windows, the plate glass windows, they were nice and large so that you could see all the deer running around while you were eating deer.
Okay.
So I thought that was awesome. Not, some of the people we were with, not so much. The other place in the capital city, there's a takeout restaurant called The Hot Horse.
And I wonder what they serve.
Usually you pay double for
right?
that.
Yep.
Well, what they do serve is, to my experience, the world's absolute best hamburger made out of horse meat.
It, and the horse that rode in on them.
Wow.
Thank you, Les.
The best burger in the world made of horse. Someone should tell Johnny Cueto.
No.
Love that burger from Popeye.
Not
Walter in Aurora. You're at Bernstein and McKnight.
Hello, guys. Yeah, back in 2015, I went to visit the motherland for the first time in Durango, Mexico. And I went to this taco place named Raices, which is Greek in English and in Spanish. And they were serving scorpion tacos, and they just threw me off. I was like, some guy in the back sitting in the corner eating it like trail mix. Eating the scorpion.
Oh, I'm there for that
scorpion
for sure.
Scorpion
taco. Scorpion taco sounds awesome.
I'd be down with that.
Yep, probably a fiery hot sauce and I'm right there.
Didn't you say you ate pigeon once?
Many times.
You've eaten pigeon a lot?
Sure.
I don't know that I could eat a pigeon, but it's not because it's gross.
Oh, it's almost like it's fabulous.
Something,
squab.
Something about eating pigeon makes me feel weird. I would feel weird eating an animal that stupid. I don't like it. Just something.
It isn't dumber than a horse.
Oh, it is. But pigeons are. I was walking down lake on my way here, like on Monday.
Yeah.
And there's a pigeon that just lands right there in the gutter in front of me, right across from the Chicago Theater.
Right.
And it starts pecking at the ground. You know, with it's clearly pecking at vomit. Like yes. That's it's eating vomit.
Okay.
So then it turns out it's done with it. It turns over and it starts picking up this little like worm thing. It's a piece of rubber. It's a black piece of rubber from like a. From a car, and it tries to fly off with the thing, and it can't get it. It lands, and it picks it up again, and tries to fly off, and it drops, and it lands. The third time, it finally, like, it really gets a purchase on this rubber worm.
Yes.
And it gets up, and it flies away, and gets crushed by a truck.
Okay.
Like, how do you eat something stupid? Maybe you just have to feel. I feel weird about myself eating something that's clearly stupid.
Chickens are pretty dumb too.
Yeah, especially.
And if you want a really good pigeon in Chicago, if they still have it, there's a place at Lawrence and Broadway called Silver Seafood. It's a Chinese place. If you go in there, make sure you get the real menu. Don't take the gringo menu.
Fakes?
Well, no, they give the people who aren't Chinese. They'll give them the non Chinese menu. Get the steamed pigeon. It's steamed in green tea, and it's incredible. Also get the deep fried pork intestines.
I mean, that sounds good
if you wanted some exotic food right here in the city.
That's all the taste of pork you want, but you've never
deep
dared
fried,
to try.
It's a little barnyardy, but it's the deep fried barbecued pork intestines, and then they have the green tea, the Chinese tea steamed squab with also like a soy green onion kind of little thing going on there. Yeah, it's great. Izzy is in Plainfield. He's on The Score.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
So I was in Europe on business, and
because of delays and things like that, I ended up not getting into town until, like, dinner time. And so I get to this French hotel/diner, and I asked, obviously, for something to eat because I've been traveling all day, and the menu was in French. So, you know, I was only 20-something, and I didn't know how to read French. And I asked, if they could translate the menu for me. So they get their German chef, and he comes over, and he sits down. It's real cool. He's translating everything to me. And then he gets to Chevelle. I'm like, and he says, that's horse. And I'm like, I ask him, what word is that? I want to make sure to avoid that in the future. And it turns out it's just like a bad steak, So it's not too bad. But if you're ever in Europe, you can have horse. It's like a normal thing.
Yep. Chevelle, Cavallo, if you're in Italy, it's everywhere. I have not had it.
No, neither have
I. I have not brought myself to that yet. Let's try Jerry and Schaumburg on the score.
Howdy, boys.
Oh.
Connor, I'll give you a quick reference. If it's not Scottish, it's crap.
It's crap.
Little Simpsons for you there.
No, that's So I Married an Axe Murderer, actually.
Saturday Night Live.
I'm on a Taiwanese business trip, and I'm with people from Taiwan, originally from Taiwan. So they take us to a specialty restaurant, and they make the entire chicken prepared at the table, starting with it raw, and it's got a little charcoal oven. So, when in Rome, I'm game for everything. The only thing I couldn't eat was the beak.
Well, you're not supposed to eat the beak.
Could have tried.
I don't think the beak's edible.
Jerry, appreciate you. On a business trip in Taiwan, so when in Rome.
When in Rome. Oh, this should be fun. Bill on Capitol Hill is on the score.
There he is.
Hey, Bill.
Hello, lads.
Hello.
How's the Empire?
Oh, it's
kind of gross today,
yeah,
really.
Kind of icky.
Yeah. Well, Connor, it's a little known fact that Proust's first draft had his narrator biting into a pigeon and then unsealing the font of memory. So,
you know the story about Graham Chapman and John Cleese with
summarize Proust.
No, this is when he had written, Cleese had written a sketch about somebody trying to return a toaster and having an impossible time. The clerk wouldn't take the toaster back, and Graham Chapman read it through and he took a puff of his pipe and he said, instead of a toaster, make it a parrot. And that's how the parrot sketch was born. So I'm picturing Proust. And I'm picturing Proust through the whole thing. You know what? Just make it a Madeleine instead, right?
Kind of sorry I didn't make it past beta. I was 2 years in Cambodia, so I had all sorts of fried cockroaches and fermented snake blood and all sorts of goodies. But my one disappointment was I was down in Takeo Province, and a friend of mine was opening a library for his villagers. And his mom and like his aunties had made all this glorious food. I mean, the Cambodian food is sort of it's sort of a nice hybrid of like French cuisine with all the basil and butter. Mm-hmm. And then the South Chinese, Vietnamese, the noodles and everything else. And I wasn't feeling very well. And I was halfway through this soup. And LC, my friend, turned to me and said, well, how do you enjoy your aunt's soup? And I looked down, and my entire bowl was filled with little red and black ants. And it was like, apparently it was like a delicacy in Takeo Province. They were famous for it. But I was just not feeling well. I don't know if it was the trip or something like that. So I had to spend the rest of the time discreetly puking. They have open air toilets and stuff. I didn't want poor Elsie to lose face and think that I was upset about his cuisine. But so that's my that's my failure. Thank you for letting me ramble.
Oh, as always, ant eggs are delicious. Yeah, I have had
ant eggs.
Yes, I have had an ant egg omelet before, and they're just
take a little lot of eggs.
Yummy, delicious. No, they're actually kind of large.
Ant eggs?
These were giant ants or something, but they were good.
Huh. I wouldn't have guessed.
Yeah, Cambodian cuisine, I would imagine rustic
hot?
Cambodian cuisine would be a thing.
Hot, right? I mean, there's a bunch of spices, no?
Yeah.
Different part of the world?
Yeah, I mean, most cultures in which they're not getting high-quality meat uses a lot of chilies.
That makes sense to me.
A lot of seasoning. Tim is in Oswego, and he's going to close us out on the score.
Well, when I was in Korea, they served this baby sushi octopus very fresh to the point where it's moving
while it's on the plate in front of you, and it looks like basically vibrating barf. But it's moving, and you have to eat it while it's vibrating. So when you eat it, you feel your esophagus as it's going down because it's vibrating. And for a good minute, the octopus continues to vibrate in your stomach.
Nope.
When you eat it. So.
Nope.
Yeah, I would do that.
Nope.
Yeah, that's the winner. Congratulations.
No. No, sir.
I really liked Vibrating Barf's third album best.
No,
they
sir.
Still had their artistic vision before they sold out.
Grilled that squid. There are some spring training storylines popping up, just like
what?
Yesterday. Yeah, we've got some things. Well, there have been a couple of contract signs and some hand-wringing, some consternation about them. But, Dan, we have a new acronym.
A new acronym.
We have a new acronym employed by a team that will make you LOL.
Oh, we're going to get all Beckman-y?
This
is... Is it worse than Cub?
It's beautiful.
What was the Cub one again? Creativity,
unification, and beautification.
Urgency. Can't ever forget urgency this
urgency
year.
Belief is like something urgency belief.
Right. Yeah, something like that.
I think the B was Blammers.
Beatrix.
Yeah, okay, well, great.
Blammers!
Sports acronyms. Things get Beckman-y in here next on The Score. Bernstein and McKnight, happy Friday. That's what you have. Headed into a long weekend for many with President's Day on Monday. I will be out because generally, yes, I usually work it, but because of timing of hockey games in St. Louis, it's going to be Matt Spiegel sitting in my stead on Monday along with Connor. So a nice little treat for you.
Very much looking forward to that. I don't think I've ever done a show with Matt Spiegel.
Really?
Yeah, I don't think so.
Oh, that would be super baseball nerdy.
You
think this show is baseball?
Gonna be a lot of that. Maybe Spiegs and I will talk about the newest acronym for the LOL Mets.
Oh, no.
Of course it's the Mets. Although, did you see where Pecota had the Mets? Just for sake of argument, just for, you know, shooting it around.
I didn't look at where they had them, no.
I didn't either. I had to go.
Let me guess, 78?
No. 88. 88 wins projected for the New York Mets by Pecota.
That's assuming a lot of health.
Heartless algorithm. Well, they put some things together, and yeah, if Robbie Cano sticks around. No, it's MINDSET. That is your acronym, MINDSET.
Oi.
MINDSET. The M.
It's an acronym.
Is for mental toughness. The I is for improve every day. The N is for no excuses. The D is for dominate. The S is for selflessness. The E is for excellence. The T is for total commitment. MINDSET.
All right.
Name for me the number of ball players you've known throughout your entire life that could keep and memorize that.
Two, probably.
Maybe.
Well, let's see. You'd have.
Well, we talked with Chris Capuano just the other day. Wait,
Chris Capuano would be one.
Craig Breslow, you know,
Craig
the other
Breslow,
guy.
Kyle Hendricks.
Oh, absolutely.
And.
Probably just a random one. Probably, I don't know.
Like Jason Marquis or somebody.
Maybe. Ronaldo Lopez could probably do it because he memorized like three different languages on the way up.
And Yolmer.
Well, Yolmer probably just has it tattooed somewhere.
Yeah, he's allowed to redefine it as it's fluid as for Yolmer. Like. But it violates the rule, though.
Of acronyms?
You can't have a two-word phrase represented by a single letter.
I agree with you. I agree. Mental toughness should not be the M. It should be mental.
That's MINDSET.
Something like that. It doesn't make any. If you've got the acronym, adhere to the rules.
You could just make it. It could just be mental.
Acronym. All right. It's mental. Stay mental.
Yes.
A couple of notes pieces have popped up around baseball, and it's not the free agent signings that you wanted, but it is the extension news you didn't really want to hear. We saw yesterday that Aaron Nola, 2 days ago, Aaron Nola got the 4 years and $45 million deal, buying out one, maybe 2 years of free agency, depending on the option. You have Luis Severino signing a similar contract, 4 years and $40 million, where they buy out 1 year. And there's Jeff Passan had it on Twitter. And this is not a fun thing to have to think about. But Passan has essentially sources telling him that the years on Luis Severino break down like this. This year, $4 million with a $2 million bonus. Next year, 10. Year after that, 10 and a quarter. 2022 is an $11 million option. The 2023 year is a club option, 15, and a buyout. Here's the terrifying news. Interesting part of that. Higher salaries in 20 and 21, lower than usual in 22. Why? It's protection against a work stoppage. You are already then having built into your contracts, your negotiations, and your mindset of players, agents, and front offices, and theoretically ownership too, you're already having a work stoppage baked into the actual financial deals your free agents and extensions are signing.
We are told that Addison Russell speaking may be close here. So we're going to take a brief timeout. If and when he does, we're going to carry his comments live here in your home for the Cubs Sports Radio 670, The Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.